You're listening to Drinking on the Job, DOTJ. I'm your host, John Coyle. Drinking on the Job is a toast to the culture of food, wine, and all things fermented. We'll be talking with winemakers, musicians, artists, late-night bartenders, scoundrels, and more. It's time to grab a glass before it's last call. New York needs a new voice for governor. Larry Sharp, the Libertarian candidate, is exactly that. He's here to discuss his vision and hopefully bring some light. Okay, I'm sitting here with Larry Sharp because I'm reading it off his sweatshirt, and he is running for governor. He's a libertarian, which we'll go into. I guess we have to ask first. David Mamet said politicians are nothing but a confederacy of whores. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure, like, what is your motivation to run for governor? It's your second time running for governor?
Yep.
So give us first the motivation why, particularly in the climate we're in right now.
I guess that makes me a motivated unselfish whore, I guess, perhaps.
Good enough. I like that.
I'll take that. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, no, if I am a whore, I'm a bad one. I mean, like, I'm really bad at it. I probably should practice more because I'm not making much money, that's for sure, because when I run, for what most people don't understand, is the system right now is set up for the elites to run.
Sure.
No one else to run, right? So when I ran in 2018, there were five of us running. I was the only one not getting a government check.
Right.
And this time when I run, there'll be three of us running. I'll be the only one not getting government checks. So literally, I have to stop working for a year. I have to not be able to work for a year to run for governor. And that's very difficult. So I'm bad at this, I guess.
Yeah. So what's it cost? Like, obviously, that's why our
sure.
Political system is broke.
Yep.
Because to even run for president, you have to have, you know, from the day one you're in, you're already
I'm not
fundraising.
Even talking president. I'm right. talking just governor.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No,
but I'm not even talking president.
What's it cost to
it's
run
insane.
For governor?
Let me give you a couple things that most people don't know.
Okay.
People get mad all the time and they go, you know, Larry, I don't understand you. Why aren't you in the polls? They had all the time, right?
Yeah.
I said, oh, well, you don't know how that works. You have to buy a poll. That's right. how it works. So I actually called a polling company and say, well, why are you not covering me? This was last time in 2018. Sure. I was literally nominated by my party, going to be on the ballot. I was the official nominee, all of that. And I would not be in polls. So I called them and said, why not? And they were very forward. Well, you don't buy the poll.
Right.
I said, oh, so if I buy the poll, I'm in the poll? Yeah, absolutely. How much does the poll cost?
Right.
$40,000.
Wow.
So $40,000 to get in one poll. What if I want to be in six polls across it? Well, that's that's $250,000 just for polls. And what if I don't do well in those polls? Well, how can I do well in those polls if I don't get advertising?
Right.
Well, advertising. Well, I don't get advertising. I can get coverage in the news.
Sure.
So I went to the newspaper. Why aren't you guys covering me? Hey, news, I'm legally the candidate. I will be on the ballot. People can vote for me. They were very forward. You don't buy ads.
Right. Yeah.
So if I got to buy ads across the state, 1 week of ads in a decent city is at least 10 grand.
Right.
So I've got to hit at least seven metro areas. That's 70 grand a week.
Right. On top of the $240,000 for the polls and
Correct.
Stuff. So how are you getting your money? Is it all private funding? Is it $10 at a time?
Yeah. When I ran last time, I've already raised, I think, about $200,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
I raised $500,000 last time I ran, and my average donation was between $85 and $100.
Okay, that's
so,
cool.
So, yeah, most of the people who give me money are average people who just want to see a change. They want to see me out there asking about real issues, giving real answers. People
okay.
tend to like my answers because if you look at the left versus right paradigm, what they always do, and this is across the country, hey, Democrat, how are you going to fix things? Republicans are bad. Hey, Republicans,
sure.
how are you going to fix things? Democrats are bad.
Right.
That's the answer. They
right.
don't give you an actual answer,
well,
and I do.
We're stuck in a populist mentality.
Correct.
We're going to vote for who thinks like us and doesn't really solve problems. So we just want somebody to be like us. So let's talk about libertarianism in general.
Sure.
Because the only libertarian most people know is Ron Paul.
He's not a libertarian. He's a Republican.
Republican. Oh, he's now a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. But started out as a libertarian, right?
Yeah, he did. He was a libertarian. He was.
Right.
Absolutely, yes.
So
he's very popular. People love him, and many people in the liberty movement now came because of Ron Paul.
Right. Because he had an outsider's look at what's going on and really spoke the truth. And then, of course,
yes.
that worked. They worked it against him. And then you have his crazy-ass son Rand. So isn't the biggest problem being a libertarian is like there's not a lot of people you look to besides him to go, yeah. go this is somebody who can solve my problems.
Agreed.
So why libertarian?
Yeah.
For you?
There's several reasons why.
Okay.
One, it has to be third party. Right? People always say, well, Larry, you got to run as Republican, Democrat, and change from the inside. Yeah, that never works ever. Why don't you ask right. Bernie Sanders how that works?
Right.
Why yeah. don't you ask Justin Amash how that works? Mm-hmm. It doesn't work ever. In fact, why don't you ask Ron Paul how that works?
Right.
Right? It does not work. That is a fantasy, and we should not be doing it. Mm-hmm. The left-right paradigm is what's failing us. It's why we're not solving any problems, because now we're at a point to where my win is not my life getting better. My win is the other losing.
Right.
They lost. Huh. I won, even though my life is still terrible. So sure. why libertarian? One, because libertarians are literally the third largest party in the United States. We are the only party that's had all, 50 state ballot access for the past 8 years, meaning we're able to get on the ballot. People don't realize the next thing is every state fights to throw us off the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
They have laws and rules and judges. We sue them all the time just to be able to get on the ballot. Yet another expense, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Lawsuit expenses just so I can be on a ballot.
And yet we hear so often what this country needs is a third party. So
yes.
here you have a viable third party
yep.
in third place by probably quite a lot.
A lot, yes. Right. It is Democrats, Republicans, and libertarians are way low.
Right.
If we're lucky, we're 3%.
That's, yeah.
Yes, that's if we're lucky, we're 3%.
So the difficulty is, how do you get above the noise when they yep. have so much money to throw at it? And for you personally, like, is your past has to be so clean, because as soon as you started
no.
to make some noise, don't you think it's a full frontal attack on you if
no.
there was something?
Let me, I got to cover a couple things.
Great.
They're going to be together with you. Why libertarian? Because I am a libertarian.
Okay.
Because I believe in people being able to do what they want to do. What a libertarian means is you can be as liberal or as conservative as you want to be, just don't force your views on others.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only people who are actually the peacemakers.
Right.
And I believe that. There's no way that Republicans are all of a sudden going to become Democrats, Democrats going to become Republicans, but can they both talk to libertarians? Yes. And we've seen it happen before. So that's one piece. But you just said they're going to go back and look at my past and whatever. That's a good thing. When you run third party, what people don't understand, any attention's good attention.
Yeah.
It does not matter, because the attention calling me names is validation.
Right.
My problem is not being valid, not right. being seen as one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, Larry murdered 5 people. They were like, who's Larry Sharp? Oh my God, Larry Sharp's a person.
Oh.
Yes, he is.
Well, maybe you should bang porn stars.
That's what I should do.
Yes.
That's my mistake.
There you go.
The problem is, though, I have a wife and I love and respect our marriage.
Yeah.
That's,
oh, shit.
That's, yeah. That's
sorry,
kind
man.
Of a downside.
It doesn't
it
sell.
It does not sell well at all. It's
you,
a problem.
You don't have any corrupt people in your family that we can exploit?
Find some, I guess. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get like a brother who'll like do some shady stuff.
Speaking of which,
maybe I'll do that.
Let's get to Andrew Cuomo possibly running again.
Yes, I hope. Please,
what?
I hope.
Is this how sorry a state we are politically that we're going to let Andrew Cuomo run again?
Yes.
I mean, the guy became a tyrant.
Without question.
Right?
But it's not like our new one is any better.
Yeah, yeah. No, yes. exactly. Well, yes. it's the same tribe.
100%.
Right?
And also the same system, which is more important.
True.
Two or three times I've met people who still support Cuomo, and I'll give you the best example of why that happens. I met a woman this summer after Cuomo had been already disgraced, already stepped down. I was working a booth at a fair, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, the whole deal. And the woman comes to me and she says, Larry, I know you, but I'm not going to sign up for you. And I said, why? She goes, no, I still support Cuomo. And I said, okay, can you tell me why? And she said, sure, Larry, he talked about all the important issues. And I said, you know what? You're right. He did. That's true. My worry is he's done so much that is hypocritical to that he's actually done more harm than good. Hmm. And she went, you know, you're right. And she signed up for our newsletter. So the issue is people want to feel heard. And
right.
very often, rhetoric of people like Cuomo is very good rhetoric. They talk about love and caring and they address the issues. And as they do that, people feel heard. And when they
right.
feel heard, they want to support them.
Right.
Politics is emotional, and people don't understand that. Politics is emotional.
Yeah, but he got ensnared in some really crazy shit. And then he enacted the Emergency Powers Act. So
mm-hmm.
explain to people where I think that where really started to go south, because that's when it became tyrannical under the Cuomo. And then we'll get to what you're
100%.
Going to do, which is awesome. But
we
need to talk about the past a little bit. Right?
100%, whatever
okay.
you like. I'm open.
Okay.
Let it go wherever it wants to go.
Okay.
The reality of how New York State works, it is rare we pass laws anymore. And people think, what? Yeah, very rare. We pass budgets, we create executive orders, and we create commissions that make magic rules. That's what we do in New York State. So for him to become a tyrant was very easy. The stage was set.
Right.
The legislature has basically been neutered to where they're not responsible for anything anymore. So what happens? There's a bad thing. Oh, we're scared that water is too greasy, whatever is the thing. So what do? We create a water greasy commission.
Sure.
And then they make five people. Three are appointed by the governor, his cronies, his friends.
Sure.
Literally before, and this is legal, before he left office, he had made every year about $800,000 per year from people who he put on boards. This is public information. In my view, totally unethical. However, totally legal. This is nothing illegal. This is the way the system works.
Right.
So he would make that kind of money from people he put on boards. So basically, he gets to enforce his will with absolutely no consequences. If you remember, all the people who were going to jail around him were people he put on boards, were people that were around him. Those people were put on jail. But I'll go one step further. The politicians who've gone to jail in New York State, think about what the defense was. None of them said, I didn't do it. None of them said that.
Right.
What they said was, everybody's doing it.
Yes.
It's the only way I can get anything done around here. Right. The system's corrupt. And what we didn't is said, well, you're a bad guy. Go to jail. Great. But the system's still garbage.
Yeah.
Which means the same people keep doing. That's why everyone keeps going to jail. A lieutenant governor might be going to jail. It's because the system is broken. So it was very easy for him to make that leap because the groundwork was set.
What I think is most fascinating about him is that there was a brief shining moment where people were talking about him running for president.
Yes, there were.
He had this, like, I think more his dad's kind of vibe of like, or Kennedy-esque kind of quality, like, this guy speaks the truth. Very Trumpian.
Yes.
Like, he'll take us to the promised land. And man, how
they
quickly.
They were Cuomo-sexuals. Remember that? They were Cuomo-sexuals. That was the name they used.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm a Cuomo-sexual. That's what we're talking about.
That is just too fucking weird.
And they did think that, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you going to do to pull us out of this morass that we're in? I mean, the subways are shit.
Yep.
Crime is up.
Yep.
I mean, everything is wrong right
yep.
now. Everything. And by the way, you probably look into the finances of the city. This is a question I often think.
Mm-hmm.
Have we begin to pay the debt from what we've already paid out for coronavirus?
No.
Right? Are we even close? Because that's the hidden secret,
yep.
right? I mean, the subways, everything's a wreck, but how are we going to pay for it when we still haven't even come close, probably haven't even started paying off the debt from the epidemic and the shutdown?
The number one issue here, number one issue for New York State, which goes into what you're going to say, is people are running away from our state.
Yeah.
Realtors say about 1,000 a day. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what realtors will say, right? So even if it's close to that, still a lot. We've lost about 2.5 million people out of the state in the past 11 years. Now, you add on top of that, we've lost a congressperson already. We went from 27 to 26 because our population keeps dwindling because people keep leaving the state because the state's a disaster.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Wow. Our budget went from when I was running the first time about $170 billion to $220 billion, and we lost 1 million people. That's unsustainable. Yeah. Our debt is over $300 billion, and they keep saying that we have balanced the budget. Here's how New York State balances the budget. I'm not joking. They take out more debt. And they can service the debt, and they say the budget is balanced. That's like you being in debt, and you go, I got another credit card.
Another credit card, yeah.
So now I'm good.
So how do we fix it?
So there are many ways.
Tell me what you plan to
sure.
do. Why? I mean, so this is your chance to tell people, what can we do differently?
I could spend 6 hours on that, but I won't punish you.
I will not punish you. Minimalist.
Yes, I'll be a minimalist okay. for you.
And by the way, let's take a drink because it's called drinking on the job.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Normally you drink alcohol, but you're on keto.
Yes.
So you're drinking coffee. I'm going to take a sip of my water to
Please.
Stay true to my podcast.
I love it. I've been part of the keto lifestyle for 11 years now. I got on keto. Do you want to hear the story or no?
Quickly, and then let's get to how you're solving New York's problems.
In 2010, my youngest daughter almost died.
Okay,
she was 18 days old. She had to have open heart surgery. At the same time, my business was finally collapsing from the crash, and I was shutting my office down, firing all my employees, just ending everything.
Law firm?
No. I'm a consultant, business consultant.
Okay.
Yep. Trainer, coach. I taught at many schools, Columbia, Yale, just business consulting.
Right.
So that was happening. And the same week, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. All that happened within 1 week. It was devastating for me. And my wife packed up and moved into the hospital. So I basically lost my wife. And I had a 6-year-old daughter at the time. So I was a single dad all of a sudden on top of it. I'm not the primary caregiver, but all of a sudden I was. my life was ending. And I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs of any type. So food became my drug. And I was eating like there was no tomorrow. I was literally having an entire pizza and a 2 liter of Pepsi for lunch. And because I was avoiding everyone, my wife wasn't around, my friends weren't around because many of them were business associates, there was no one to tell me, dude, you can't do that. You can't, that's not normal.
You'd be better off drinking vodka and smoking cigarettes.
I would have been better starting smoking, 100%.
Probably cheaper.
Better. Yes, cheaper, better for my health, everything. So I blew up. I got huge. I must have put on, I don't know, 25 pounds in like 2 weeks. It was crazy. But then I started getting my act together. I got to get back to work, but I couldn't fit in my suits. So I said, how do I deal with this? What do I do? And I thought, I needed something that was difficult that I'd feel like I had control, but simple. So I said, you know what? No carb, low carb, keto. That's it. Just don't eat carbs. And because I needed this, and people tell me that what I did maybe not have been healthy at the moment, but mentally was super healthy. I literally was a fanatic. I was drinking water, coffee, meat, and that eggs, and that's about it, for like 2 months. I dropped 40 pounds.
Wow.
In 2 months. I was a fanatic. And what was good about it is it gave me the ability to say, I can control something, right? Mentally was amazing for me. Right. Physically, it probably tore my body to pieces. But mentally, it was so good for me because I realized I could do this. And it helped me to take charge of my business, my relationship, my family. And I've been on keto ever since. That was 12 years ago.
Now let's hope that fanaticism will become an obsession with straightening out this goddamn state.
Absolutely.
If you take governorship. So how are you going to do it?
Yes.
Give us some of your steps.
The number one thing we have to do is we have to raise money through ways other than taxation. That's the most critical piece. There are certain pieces that are city specific and certain things that are state specific. New York City specific. We need to raise money for the MTA. The MTA is broken. The system is completely destroyed. How do we fix that? Number one, why aren't we leasing out naming rights to bridges? So our bridges right now are named the Triborough Bridge or the JFK Bridge or whatever. Why is it named the 3M Bridge or the Kellogg Bridge or the Pepsi Bridge? Right. And they will easily give us $100 million a year for that. Easily. How do I know that? Bankers already came to me for it.
Okay, I'd be down for that as long as it's an expiration date, because I don't really want to live in New York and have to drive over the Pepsi Bridge for the next 20 years.
Well, here's
the
issue.
You could do it for a couple of years to salvage the economy, but I tell you, I would not be super happy about
the Pepsi
Bridge.
And I know you would say that, but then 10 years from now, you're going to leave the city. So everyone tells me, everyone goes, that's dystopian. And I go, that's dystopian? Today's dystopian. I got to pay $15 to cross a bridge and it's broken and I can't cross it anyway. And my MTA is going to want to pay me $3.54 for a ride eventually because it can't sustain the $2.25 or $2.75 it is now.
Yeah.
No, that's dystopian.
Okay.
I'll take Pepsi.
Let's get a better brand.
Okay, whatever. 3M, you pick. I don't care.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. You know what? The Cuomo's going to have a bridge. Pay me $100 million a year. I don't care. Maybe Elon Musk wants to tell us how cool he is. Let him buy it. Make it the Musk bridge. I don't care.
All right, that's a start.
I want money coming in from our bridges and tunnels so we can end tolls. Because who pays for the tolls? The working, poor, and the middle class.
Sure. Going to work every
day. Going to work every day.
9 to 5.
The people who don't like it, I get it. But give me a better answer for my working, poor, and my middle class who have to run this city. They don't have one. What they have is I'm mad. That's not a good enough answer. So that's one, but I'm still not done. Why in the world at night on the MTA, why aren't we bringing at night every other train, a freight train, bringing freight into New York City? You're telling me they wouldn't want to bring freight into New York City? We can. Now, of course, the pushback I always get is, well, Larry, the lines aren't going to work. You're right. We're going to have to rebuild all the lines. Well, you know who would do that? I don't know. Amazon, FedEx, Home Depot. Amazon and Google, their budgets are in the billions every year for marketing, for marketing. So they would take that. They can run the lines. They'll get special preference on nighttime trains going into the city. They can build a hub so they can bring stuff in. What does that do? Gives us a brand new MTA for free. Number two, it'll be cheaper because not only will that be brand new, we don't have the maintenance, but also money from the bridges will be going towards the MTA. Now we can actually do $2 a ride and have a good ride, but I'm still not done. Less trucks into the city at night, less wear and tear on the city, better for bikers and cyclists in the city. This is win, win, win every way. The left and the right together are happy. The left always tell me, well, Larry, we want corporations to pay more. You can't tax them because they break the tax law.
And they'll leave.
And they'll leave. So instead, they'll happily pay this. They want to pay this.
Right.
This helps them. They're paying more. Good. And the right says, I don't want taxes. There's no taxes here.
Right.
So no extra taxes, raising money. You start doing that for the city, it will change how the city looks, change how it thinks, and all of a sudden we'll get a good system that will support the working poor and the middle class without raising taxes on them. So that's the city.
Is there going to be a debate with all the governors? Is there going to be a dais?
There'll be a debate. I hope they'll have me on it. We'll see.
So isn't it? So you can't get on because it's not you. There's not enough money behind you, basically.
Correct. Yes.
So it'll be Cuomo and whoever else is running against him.
No, it'll be Hochul and Zeldin.
But Cuomo will probably run, right?
No, I don't think he'll run. I don't think he will. Okay. I hope he runs. Oh my God, I hope he runs.
Yeah.
Because if he runs, he splits a Democratic vote and I have a chance of actually winning this thing.
Oh, okay.
So he's my, please run. If he's listening, all the bad things I said about you, I'm kidding. Come on. Jokes. Run, Andrew, run, brother.
And his poor brother lost his job as well.
Yes. Well, he can help. He'll be like the lieutenant governor. The Cuomo brothers. They can run together.
They give him a job.
Come on. Andrew, I was kidding.
Okay.
Run.
So, Subway, how about the schools? This is how bad the schools are right now. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but during COVID, I was trying to help a school out up in the Bronx, and I talked to one of the principals there and said that summer schools was canceled.
Yep.
So a lot of the kids, this is their the way they get their meals during the summer because they're poor families in our city. No Wi-Fi. They bring buses to school to have a Wi-Fi signal, and I thought that is just so pathetic. But it's not going to get better because the budgets, as we just talked about, were in such deficit and free fall. What do we do about the schools?
Yep, absolutely. So I covered New York City and the MTA and the travel, right? That part. As I said, I can go on for 6 hours. But now when it comes to schools, we have to change how we even fund the schools. The problem is our school funding is garbage. We draw about $28,000 per kid every year, and we rank usually under 25th throughout the state always. What is that? And in fact, if you're in – I think Rochester right now has the worst schools in the country. Rochester right now, if you're a black male, your chance of graduating high school less than 20%.
Wow.
That's how bad it is. Our schools are terrible across the entire state. And all we do is throw more money at them. It's a terrible idea. Here's the actual answer. Change how we fund schools. We have to create a trust, a separate trust from the government, similar to what Singapore does. Mm-hmm. Singapore has a trust that helps fund their government. There are actually governments now where a trust is large enough that it funds about 20% of their budget. That's huge. We have New York City. We have the state. We can do it. It's not like the lottery. The lottery was run by the government, and the government took the lottery. Remember the lottery was supposed to pay for education?
Yep, right.
That was a total scam. This is a separate company with a separate president, separate people, get all that. The controller oversees it. We can raise enough money within a year to pay for school tax across the state. If we pay for school tax, just school tax only, local school tax, what will happen immediately? Your property tax is cut in about half. Property tax cut in half, what happens? Immediately, rent stabilize. The youth can stay here.
Right.
Not just that, the retirees can stay here. Not just that, people won't want to move away. That's the first piece. What also means it's not funded by the school district, meaning wealthiest districts don't get more money because school tax is no longer part of the funding.
Well, how criminal is it that if you can't even get Wi-Fi, obviously people are sharing laptops. And to your point earlier, if you can talk to Amazon, Pepsi, whatever, the big four, Amazon, Facebook, Google, Apple, they have more money than countries.
Yep.
So why wouldn't they be putting their logos on every school and giving
every
kid a laptop?
Because it's not how it's funded. That's exactly my point. Right. You are literally walking down the road with me. Thank you.
Right.
That's how it's funded. I don't want it funded that way.
Right.
Instead, the New York State Constitution tells us we must fund for grades 1 through 12. That's required by our Constitution. No worries. I'm okay with that. Fine. That's the Constitution. But we now let the trust begin to pay now directly to each school district. Each kid, $18,000 per kid, goes to the school district. Goes done. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? While we do that, we now decide, okay, once we do that, now also we are going to stop all standardized testing in the lower grades. You only do standardized testing when they're in high school. Lower standardized testing in elementary school is useless. Junior high school is useless. It only makes kids more stressed. It only forces teachers to teach to the test. And it also creates dollars coming from the federal government, which I do not want dollars from the federal government at all.
Well, because it's based on that testing and it's part of that bullshit of no kids left behind.
Correct.
Which is the worst way you could measure
terrible
success.
Right. And pushes kids into college when they shouldn't be in college.
Right.
It takes away our trades. We need kids to be in trade schools. Federal government stops all that. It's about $6 million. But once we get rid of that, that goes away. Now, if I'm just giving money directly, there's no more grants. The state no longer gives any extra money. So the federal and state stop giving money. So you just get your money, $18,000 per kid per district, with a $4,000 credit if you want to either homeschool or private school your kid. So I'll give you the option of school choice if you want to, or go to your school, whatever you like. And now local people have more control of their schools. But more important than that, I got to make the most important piece. If there's no federal or state dollars going in, all those administrators who are required for that, they can go away. And this is the most important people not get this. Teacher burnout in New York State is because of administrators, because of rules. Not just that. Administrators, the average teacher in New York State makes between like $60,000 and $80,000 a year is about the average. Some make six figures, but most don't. Some make between $60,000 and $80,000 a year. That's about what they make, give or take. The average administrator makes over $100,000. Many make $300,000 and $400,000 a year as an administrator. And most of them, all they do is check boxes for state and federal governments.
Right.
The second that you end those requirements, those administrators can be fired, and they will be. And once they're fired, you've just opened up tons of cash for either more teachers or more computers or Wi-Fi or whatever is the thing you require. If there are no grant writing to the state, what does that mean? That means you don't have to say, oh my God, the state wants me to build a football field. Let me get money for that. You can decide to put Wi-Fi in.
Right.
But more important than that, right now, the way the system works now, most people don't know this either. If you don't spend your money at the end of every year, you don't get it next year. So that means they just spend all the money at the end of the year. They have to spend it. That's how the government works. So if my budget was $1 million, I better spend $1 million. If I don't, I get less next year.
So then what you're really pointing to is how shitty the oversight is on this budget. Because if you have $1 million and if you have money to spend at the end of the year and you just have to spend it and 80% of your school doesn't have laptops and no Wi-Fi, why wouldn't you just go, well, here's an easy fix. Let's give everybody laptops they check in at school.
Who's going to decide who gets laptops and how to get laptops?
Well, I mean,
you can't. You're going to have to go to the state to get that, the way the current system works. The current system is broken.
It has to go through the state.
That's correct.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, why does it go through the state?
Right.
Instead, give them the money. If you don't spend your money, save it. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you think if I save for 2 years, I can buy everybody laptops.
Right.
Or whatever is the thing you need, or I can get Wi-Fi. If I do it that way, will there be mistakes? Yes, of course. People are humans. But there'll be a mistake in a district or two that we can help repair. Right now, we're trashing the entire system. People go, but Larry, there'll be mistakes. This dystopian future that people keep telling me about is now.
Right.
That's not coming in 5 years from now.
Right.
Right now, our kids are being screwed over. It's not working. We're spending tons of money. The budget's getting worse. The parents are unhappy. The teachers. We were so stupid during COVID that we decided, you know what we're going to do during COVID? Let's see. We're going to shut things down so that people can't work. We're going to make sure our youth don't go to school, so our young men can't go to school and our young men can't go to work. And we're going to make sure that we stop things coming in and out to make sure that everything's more expensive, which makes a huge black market. I wonder why there's gang violence.
Yeah.
No, we literally created gang violence with our stupidity.
What's the biggest problem that we face in the city right now?
There's
too many, but what's the biggest?
Yes. It is the budget without question, because the budget affects everything.
Okay.
If you're a Republican right now in New York State, your answer is always the same thing. More laws. Democrats are bad.
Yeah.
If you're a Democrat in New York State, your answer is, more money. It's underfunded. Everything's underfunded. Nothing is underfunded.
Right.
Everything, all the systems are broken.
Well, we saw under Giuliani, who was the mayor, obviously, the zero tolerance, what that did. And that just is like bullshit.
Yep. I hope I gave you some real answers.
No, those are real answers. So— do you think Eric Adams is doing as our mayor?
Do you speak with him? I don't. The point I bring up real fast is, even if you're listening now and you go, I don't like your ideas, Larry, even if you think that, good.
Right.
I'm talking about answers. Mm. And if you can give me better answers, I'll scrap my answers and make better ones. But I want to solve it. When I was on Rogan, at the end of Joe Rogan, he said, Larry, I like your answers. You like your ideas. Where'd you get them? I said, me and my team made them up. He goes, great. You better lock them down. I said, why? He goes, people will take them. I said, take them. I don't have to run.
Yeah.
Fix my state. Make things good. My website, which I'll pump real fast, LarryShop.com.
Yeah, we'll do it at the end. But you on Joe Rogan?
Oh, yeah, I was on Rogan, of course.
Oh, fuck. Good for you, man.
Yeah, shit. Absolutely.
Look at you now, big time on DOTJ
yes.
podcast.
Well, I had to get there before I can get here. I mean, come on.
I heard of this kid, Rogan.
Yeah, it's stepping stones. Yeah. Stepping stones. I'm on my way to the big time. But my point is, my policies have been on my website since 2018. And no one's taken them. My policies are still on my website now in 2022. No one's taken them.
So that's the kind of funding you need. You need people like Joe Rogan behind you. You
100%.
Need big money behind you. People who want change, who
yes.
want to progress.
Well, that's why Andrew Yang is backing me.
Right. Okay.
That's the reason why.
Yang's got some money.
Yes, he's backing me too. Andrew Yang has endorsed me. The Forward Party's endorsed me. I am officially a Forwardist. I'm also a Libertarian, so I have both sides of that equation.
And Forwardist is his party?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
The name of his party's Forward.
Right.
Name of my party's Libertarian.
Right.
If you are a Libertarian, you are. If you're a Forward person, you're a Forwardist.
Right.
That's the appropriate terms.
I'm happy he's behind. I think you need that kind of mega power behind you.
You need
Andrew Yang. You need a Rogan. And if you get people like that, then the funding's not an issue.
Yeah.
And you will be on the dais.
Yes.
But if not, it's same old, same old.
100%. Look, I'm going to be doing events with Yang in the summer. I was on Glenn Beck's show. So a lot of different – you asked about how do I make it happen. It's going through things like this. It's why I do – podcasts are the future of media. They're the future of mainstream media, believe it or not. They just are. If they're not already here, right?
Yeah, I believe it. I showed you we're like 15,000, 25,000 downloads. And people listen. And and that's why I wanted to have you on. Second politician, Joel Alkert being the first, Clinton's press secretary. I'm always happy to have you on.
Well, I'm better looking.
I'm a New Yorker. You're more handsome,
sure. That's true. Yes.
You're a tad more passionate than he is. Just a tad.
There we go, yes.
But it's to me, I'm very hopeful, but at the same time, so like, you know, it's so difficult to change. And this country, just look at where we are right now with the Roe v. Wade thing. I'm not even going to go down that road.
Yep.
But
it's just more divisive.
Why do we keep seem like we're just walking backwards? You know,
I'll tell you why. And people, this is the reason why I'm a third party. And I may sound a little bit hyperbolic when I say it, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. Without a third party, this nation is doomed because we're not talking anymore, and everything becomes partisan. Everything. Russia is partisan. Masks are partisan. Everything's partisan.
It
shouldn't be. You should think about the Russia-Ukraine invasion as you should think by watching. You should think about masks as what makes sense for your health. You shouldn't decide what did my left or right talking head tell me, and then that's what I should think about the thing.
Right.
And we're doing that. So third party is the way of breaking that. The reason why this happens is because it's easier. It just is. If I'm a Democrat now in a Democratic state or Republican in a Republican state, because most states are becoming more and more gerrymandered, right? And so are districts. If I just say I'm not the other, I win.
It should be. Look, there's a very good reason Bernie came very close, right? There's a certain reason. It's the same idea really, why we had the previous president. I don't want to mention his name. People are like, I'm so fed up with the usual 100%. Bullshit. I want a different voice. And that is why that man got
I'm going to give you some examples that totally validate what you just said.
Yep.
The first thing is, I know that a bunch of people I know wanted Bernie in 2016.
Yeah.
When a Democratic establishment, which is our enemy. Our enemy, by the way, is not Democrats or Republicans. It's the establishment of both. Those are our real enemies.
Agreed.
So the establishment pushed out Bernie. Once they pushed him out, they broke up into three groups. Group number one, I'm out. Politics sucks. Group number two, I'll hold my nose and vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
Group number three, they went for the other guy you won't mention because they saw Bernie. They didn't know what his policies were. They saw him as a rebel. They knew it was the system was wrong and he was a rebel.
Yeah.
And when they lost him, they went, well, this other guy's a rebel too. We'll go to him. And they didn't care about they cared about the strength of the rebellion. And that's why they went there, because of that.
Yeah.
How do I know that? Because the guy who came to me and was my marketing chief when I ran in 2018, he ran veterans for Bernie. And he came to me because he saw me as a rebel in 2018, right?
Yeah.
People know something's wrong. And that's where I was. I was back when I thought, you know, Ross Perot would save us, right? I was that guy.
No, I liked Ross Perot as well. Yeah.
Oh, and then I thought Nader was going to save us, right? I was that guy. I think a lot of people just know the system isn't working. They don't spend enough time figuring out what's the solution. And when they see a rebel, they jump.
Yeah.
Whether that rebel is the guy you don't want to mention or Bernie or me or whomever, they run towards a rebel.
Yeah, because that guy didn't win. The reality is Hillary lost because people didn't like her and didn't want to vote for her and for very obvious reasons. And as you say, hold their nose.
Yes.
But she lost. He didn't win.
Well, she was literally the poster child for the establishment.
Right.
Whether you're left or right, you would admit that's true.
Agreed.
She was the poster child for the establishment. Right. And most Americans do see the establishment as the enemy.
Yeah. Well, if they're awake, and I don't mean woke, I mean awake.
Yes.
And they're looking at their paychecks and they're looking what we're getting and we're looking where we're going.
Yes.
On both sides, QAnon.
Yep.
And lasers and, you know, Democrats eating babies. And then on the Democratic side, and I'm sorry, I disagree with this idea of like, let's wipe out college debt. I mean, that to me is what That's not old school Democrat. Old school Democrats went to factory floors. They talked to people's needs and their desires.
Correct.
And wiping out college debt is just another way of saying, here's some more free shit, which is perfect fodder for the crazy ass fucking right. And by the way, how about we'll take your college debt and erase your college debt, but you're going to give us 2 years in the Peace Corps. You're going to join the military. You're going to do something. You're going to help build roads. Okay. And then I could say, okay, now we could see maybe we could take some of that debt away for you, but you got to do something. Well, and that's the problem. The Democrats aren't real Democrats anymore.
Let me walk down that road. I'm going to give you a possible solution for this. Okay. It's not a great solution, but it's one that could work. You can't just eliminate debt. You've also got to change the system. The system itself is broken. The reason why it's broken is because of government-backed loans. Colleges have no desire, no reason to give you a good degree. The degrees colleges give you in America right now are utter garbage.
Agreed.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they're garbage. They're useless. Most people don't use them. They just waste time and energy. Our school system across our country, our school systems are steaming piles of shit. Mm-hmm. And I will say that to anybody. Yeah. Well, don't you love? Why do you hate teachers? I love teachers. They're not teaching. Mm-hmm. We're screwing teachers over. They're all leaving and becoming other things. Right? And the administrators are running everything, and they're terrible at it. They are really horrible. So if you want to change it, you should do several things. One, what the government should do is take away half of the debt and then allow the individual to now, if they want to, refinance it. That's number one. It's not the end of the story. Mm-hmm. First piece, refinance it. Mm-hmm. In addition, they should be able to discharge it through bankruptcy if that's appropriate for them. You can't do that right now. Right? So if they want to use bankruptcy, if it makes sense to them, do that. But I'm still not done. You do that first. Second thing you do is you say, okay, from now on, anyone, any college who's taken a bunch of money, and you make a number, that number is, from college loans, you now must give every person who's attended your college, right, every one of them, 1 year of free college that either they can take or they can transfer to someone in their family.
I like the transferring thing.
Yes, either one. Yeah. So, okay, I paid for mine. I busted my rump for mine. I paid my debt. But I got kids, and I got an uncle and a cousin. They all went to college, too. 4 years, my kid gets free college.
Sure.
So now you've given the people who busted their rump something, and you've given the people who are in debt something. That's the first part. People will be okay with it. They won't love it, but they'll say, you know what? That'll do.
I like it because it turns the legacy thing on its head.
That's correct.
If you go to Harvard, Yale, my kid can go, it's a legacy.
That's correct.
And it just feeds the 1%ers.
100%.
How about give back to the people who are struggling to pay their college, and then their kid gets a bye year.
Exactly. That's the point. Right. We can do that now. We're giving something back, right? And for people like my age, I can't go. I'm not going back to college, but I got kids.
Right.
I got nieces, nephews, whatever. Let them go. Whatever the case may be, I'm giving something back. Now, the next piece is you're going to change how we finance college, right? If you're in the same age bracket as me, you remember probably when you buy a car as a kid.
Sure.
You actually went to a bank.
Right.
And you go to a bank and you get a loan. The bank will give you the money and you'd pay the guy, right?
They give you the book with all the little monthly payment
stubs.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. Not anymore. Yeah. Now you go get a car loan. You don't get a car loan. It's financed by the car company.
Yeah.
Right. So Honda, Ford, whatever, it's Ford Finance Company. Allow colleges, accept them. They finance all their own loans. What does that mean? Now, if your degree is garbage and you people can't pay for the loan, well, then you don't get your money. So now the colleges finance, they allow them to be banks, like you do car companies, follow the same model. You finance your own tuition. So you're going to have to lower the price for these garbage tuitions. You're paying for garbage degrees because no one can pay it back.
Yeah. College education has outpaced inflation in double digits every single year.
Totally
and
not worth
anyone who's listening to this is going, right, you're right, because my kids go to an okay school and they're paying $60,000 a year, which is criminal.
Yes.
The system is broken because the three things that made this country great is the tripod is education, the ability to be able to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't even go – we're going to have to talk about it, but insurance and health.
Yes.
Health insurance.
100%.
The three things that made this country great no longer exist, and that's why we can't do business as usual.
Yep.
And that's why we need a different voice.
And that's what I'm telling you. You make that change, everything changes.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, a college that's been charging $60,000 a year goes, wait a minute, if I have to finance myself, this guy's never going to pay this back.
Right.
And so either the college goes out of business, which it won't. Right. That's a fantasy.
Never.
One of two things will happen.
Right.
They'll lower the price of their degrees or they'll actually teach something that'll get them a job.
Right.
One of the two. Both are the right answer. So you will naturally change the environment. You will watch them change how they act. That's really the answer. And now you've got everything. You've made the people who have paid, you've given them something. The people who are screwed now with debt, you've given them something. You've changed the system, which I keep talking about, so it won't happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, the country's in a world of hurt right now.
And I would ask you, what are Republicans and Democrats doing? Democrats are saying, give it all away. Republicans are saying, there's no problem. They're both wrong.
Yeah, well, they'll take care of their own tribes.
Yeah,
and just that's the problem, that like we're in this sick populist mentality of like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to vote for someone who believes what I believe.
And it's or bullshit. Hates the other.
Or hates the other. Hate is huge.
Yes.
Man, we love to hate.
Yep.
And these algorithms that are built all around hate. That's this whole thing of freedom of speech. It's like with the Elon Musk thing on Twitter that drives me kind of insane. Like Elon's for freedom of speech. Well, what is freedom of speech? You can't yell fire at a movie theater. People still get sued for libel. And when freedom of speech is bots that are just using an algorithm to do nothing but dredge up hate, that's not freedom of speech.
But this is the issue. There are two things that are important here. One, the one thing that I'm happy about him doing, which I hope he does, is ending the bots.
Ending the bots.
I hope he can do that because that's real. That's 100% true. Bots don't have freedom of speech. But individuals do. And I know people get mad when I say, well, why don't you want to get rid of hate speech? I don't. And the reason why I don't want to get rid of hate speech is because if I get rid of it on Twitter, it just goes someplace else.
Right.
And digs in. And digs in. And digs in.
Right.
And then we have revolt. Then we have violence. No, I'd rather it be – if there are going to be Nazis – I want you out front wearing an armband.
I totally agree with you. Because
I want to wear an armband.
As opposed to being on Madison Avenue figuring out advertising campaigns to hide their message to convince people to be Nazis.
100%.
That's the problem.
Wear
right?
the armband and march out front.
March
I want to see it.
Here you go. Here's your tiki torch.
I want to see it.
I agree.
I do not want to hide this. I think if you hide it, it gets worse and then people don't want to talk about it. I can't convert you.
Right.
If I can't talk to you,
right.
And you can't see how bad you look if it's not public. Now, there are some people who are sociopathic, and no matter what you do, it's not going to change them. But most people aren't, and they get moved by their environment. And when you put them into an environment where everyone's talking negative stuff, they become negative. Yeah. But if someone can shine a light, then they can be turned.
I believe that most people are good.
Yep, I agree completely.
And I think we're in concert on that. So we're at the part of the show, because we're getting there for time, where I ask my guest, it's your last day on the planet.
Okay.
You've now governor, and you've had extended terms, and you saved the city.
Oh, I've saved everything.
And God says you're going to fall asleep the following night. But I'm going to give you one night to eat, drink, and listen to a piece of music as you float off out of the governor's mansion.
It's going to seem odd, but I'll tell you. I'm going to eat pizza with sausage and mushrooms.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to eat. Pizza with sausage and mushrooms.
All good?
I'm also going to have Pepsi or Coke, but the sweeter the better.
Fuck.
All stuff that I can't eat now because
of
keto.
Holy shit, yeah.
And I'm going to have coffee ice cream.
Coffee ice cream.
Yes, coffee ice cream, Coke or Pepsi, maybe both, maybe a combo. And I'm going to have pizza with mushroom and sausage. That's what I'm going to eat. Drink is going to be, as I said, Pepsi.
What are you listening to?
And I'm going to – do I get two things or only one?
I'm going to give you two. I'll give you two pieces of music you listen
two
to.
Two very crazy things that I'm going to match at all.
Okay.
Ice Cube.
Okay. Song.
Wicked.
Okay.
And Kate Bush.
Kate Bush.
Yes. Those two.
Kate Bush is very 80s, right? What song Kate Bush?
They are 80s. I'm old enough to know who 80s music.
Yeah.
80s. Well, Wicked was 92, 91, early 90s. Wicked was early 90s. I forgot when it was. But it's a strong, aggressive, I love that type of music. And Kate Bush is exactly the opposite.
Okay. And what song from Kate Bush?
Maybe Wuthering Heights.
Okay.
Maybe.
So,
Running Up That Hill.
Okay, you got
Running Up That Hill. That's what it is. Yes, it is Wicked, Ice Cube, and Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill.
So I have to say, Larry, I will say it's refreshing to have you on because, like most thinking Americans, we are exhausted.
Yes.
Exhausted by this sordid adolescent political behavior that we witness every single day. Mm-hmm. We are afraid to look at the newspaper and the news, right? Because if it's not our political machinations, it is Ukraine, and I can't take either.
Yep.
So it's great to hear a new voice. I am hoping I tried to get Andrew Yang. Give me his email. I'm going to call him and say, "You man, you got to throw more money. You got to throw more money at Larry." I'm going to send Rogan a note.
Yes.
I say, throw Larry. We need Larry. New York needs Larry.
I love it. Well, now that I'm on your show, I've hit the big time. Maybe they're still listening.
So like let it. Everyone know how they can reach you, your Instagram, your website,
absolutely,
whatever that is, and we'll post.
I am on all the things, all the interweb things. I'm on everything from TikTok to Twitter to Facebook to YouTube. Larry Sharp, and it's Sharp with an E, and the E stands for electable. LarrySharp.com is where my policies are. Just Google Larry Sharp. My Wikipedia page shows up. Larry Sharp, that's what you need to do.
Cool. So I want to thank Larry Sharp for being on DOTJ Podcast. Hey, check out my website, dotjpodcast.com, for previous episodes as well. I can't thank Larry enough for taking time out of his very, very busy schedule. Let's hope that we get a new voice in our state. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check us out at dotjpodcast.com. Until then, I'll see you at the bar.